Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior Right Warrior Ice Arena.
Warrior, come on, Arena.
My lips are starting to get numb.
Loosen up a little bit here. It's cold in here.
Cold.
Yeah, so we're here. Bruins had their pregame skate. They got the Flyers tonight at the Garden. Hardy's got personalized gloves.
Wow.
Got the winter coats and gloves out for this one today.
I'm putting them back on.
Second, people on Twitter want to know.
What?
Cato Kalen give you gloves.
Well, you said it right out of the gate. I said,
"Oh my God, really?"
Tell your boy, nice too.
Tell your boy Juice. He said,
"Half fleece on the bottom. Feel that. Feel that. You want to feel that? Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
That's nice.
Half leather, half fleece. They're nice.
You know, Joe gave a big thumbs up on those grilled cheese. Yeah, should I go order a couple for us now so we can have them in the next break?
I think you should.
All right,
good.
Grilled cheese.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm good. I'm good.
Jim, grilled cheese.
Phenomenal.
Got grilled cheese. Okay.
Okay.
The three grilled cheese.
Josh on the camera tonight. He's going to get a grilled cheese.
All right.
She said they get rave reviews on them.
Okay.
Zoe said it was awesome.
I was impressed.
I'll go for that.
Hey, if they have the tomato soup, take the grilled cheese, dunk it in the tomato soup.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Never. That's new. It's a new one. People do that? People do that, huh?
Tell you what, Rucci and I, we made like 36 of those one day. We just sat there, me, him, and Max Lane, we had a pot of grilled cheese, tomato soup, and we just ate probably 36 grilled cheese sandwiches and just dipped them in duck.
You guys partied your asses off.
That was wild.
Those are the stories I'd love to hear. Is that in the book?
Crazy?
Is that
no.
In the book?
No, I left that one out.
Oh, that's too bad. All right. Last night, Red Sox get a win.
A couple Bledsoe pool stories in the book.
A couple of things stand out to me. Big story, David Price was great again.
Phenomenal.
My God, this guy.
I wanted more, man.
Just another great part of the Red Sox story for 2018.
I wanted another inning. I want to see him go seven.
I think you are insane.
Like seven's a magic number for these great pitchers, man, for me. For whatever reason. It's just like old school.
You got six,
I don't know.
You got six good innings out of him. You didn't want him to face that lineup a third time. He had some issues facing them the second time around. I think you get six innings.
He was cruising.
Two runs.
It was his night.
Then you've got the lead. Nope. Turn that right over to the bullpen, and they were lights out. And all when it was all said and done between Price and the three guys they used, Kelly, who was amazing, Evaldi, Kimbrel, they retired the last 16 batters in a row to win the game last night. But the middle innings is where the action was again. The Red Sox won the game in the middle innings. Very important. They've done that two games in a row now. And then they, you know, because of the bullpen, they were able to say that's how it ended. That's how it was won in those middle innings. But don't let that be lost.
That's right.
I feel like, you know, there's a lot of criticism about Dave Roberts having a short bench at the end of these games, and I think it's foolish. I think it's overrated. I think if you've been paying attention, you see that these games can get decided in the fifth or sixth or whatever it might be, especially the way the Red Sox bullpen is going. So I'm not second-guessing the Dodgers for having short benches and making a lot of those switches early the way they do. And after two games, when you look at it, is there anything definitively that you think the Dodgers could have done differently that would have ensured they'd win one of these two games? Hard for me to say that.
You know, how do you tell a team to buckle down when you've got two outs? You know, how do you game plan for that? Now, listen, when we got two outs, even if they got a guy on base, You really got to pay attention and focus on getting that third out. I mean, that's what's – and Price said it earlier. It's, like, been good with two outs all season. But, again, for the first two games of this series, it's crazy. When they scored that run, the first run of the game last night to go up, that put them at over half of the runs that they've scored now in this postseason have come with two outs.
Wild. It's absolutely wild.
I mean, you could say it was trending before they, you know, they started the World Series just based on what you saw from the Yankees and Astros.
Yeah.
But really, how do you account for that? How do you game plan for that by doing any?
But it's an in-game field thing, too. Like the Vasquez non-call on the third strike where he thought he had him and he's walking to the dugout. Do you got to send somebody out there to settle him down? Do you make a change there? I don't know, because everything unraveled after that. Man, that was two outs. Nobody wasn't. One guy in first. Next thing you know, you walk him, and then you walk the next guy, and you bring in Mattson. At that point, he walks a guy.
Yeah, Mattson, man, I do feel bad for Ryu last night because
walks
I thought
guy in
he pitched
and then JD
well.
Had that hit. That was it. Ball game.
I thought
That's
the guy on the other side pitched well too. He only went 4 2/3, but I thought he pitched well.
So that was a 2-1 game at that point, right? Because they ended up getting up 4-2 at the end of that inning. They were down 2-1 going into that inning, so they end up tying it up. You could have minimized damage here. The Martinez hit took him up and got him 4-2. And that's when it was over. Like, that fifth inning unraveled for him. That's where Cora's outmanaged Dave Roberts in these situations where it seems like Roberts is in there with the hands in the pockets just waiting to do something, and he doesn't do it. It's not proactive. Cora's been proactive about everything. Any whiff of trouble, boom, he's out there. You know, gets his guy out.
How'd you like in the bottom of the second, by the way? The Red Sox did get a run there, but Kinsler running into the out at third. Oh, that bothered me. I hated that.
I don't know.
Phenomenal tag.
Just be aggressive. Be aggressive. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, it's too aggressive.
It was a very good tag, and I thought for a second they called him out because he slid off the bag. No, he had him before he hit the bag.
Got him both times.
And Jim said last night that he thought he went on his own. I mean, as the play was developing, I'm like, well, he's not going to make it to third.
Holy crap, he's going to third.
He's going to the. Jim thought he was going on his own. I don't know.
I think in that situation he is on his own.
That's a bang play, right?
I think he's on his own. I think that's the player's
fault. He's looking for the outfield. He makes a decision to go.
That's on him. It's on the player.
How do you look at that outfield and make that decision?
But I don't look at him and say it's on him. That's what they're telling these guys to do.
Yeah.
Take it. Try and take the bag. Be aggressive. And I'm like, I really wish you'd be a little less aggressive at times. You know, I wish you were a wee bit less aggressive because you were dead at third.
Yeah,
dead.
You're getting something going here early on in the game. You still got a runner in scoring position. If you're standing at second base, just leave it at that.
I do think the value in that, though, is that you're pressing and you're forcing the other team to know that you're doing that. Like, that's why I do understand it, though. And that sort of speaks to the way this team has played. That's the other part of it. More of this two-out, you know, production from this team. Ann Kinsler said after the game last night, it's a never-say-die type of team. Regardless of situation, the game is not over until there are 27 outs, and that's how we play. We just play knowing that we're just going to keep on plugging away. They never get down. They keep pressing. They keep their foot on the pedal. And I think that, just sort of that mentality and that approach, will impact the other team.
Yes.
May result in an out there in the second inning. As much as I get annoyed with it as a fan, that is going to impact the Dodgers. They are now looking for that on every single play. Every single ball put into play, they're thinking, uh-oh. You know, now they've got to sort of go into overdrive.
Yeah.
Who's trying to take a bag on us here? Where am I going? Right?
Yeah.
And I think you sort of force that. You're sort of imposing your will on the opponent, which is a hard thing to do in baseball. But I think that's part of their attitude and their approach. I do want to get to David Price. I do want to hear from David Price because he had some interesting comments after the game. Let's start with this. This is what he said. Answering a question to Chris Gasper.
David, right here. Nights like tonight, is this why you decided to come to the Red Sox years ago? And is it sweeter for you, given the adversity and the disappointment that you with the injury last year and stuff that you've had to overcome to get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, over 108 wins in the regular season, beating the Yankees in the ALDS, beating the reigning champs in the ALCS, and being up 2-0, you know, it's part of the reason why I came here, absolutely. I mean, we've won the AL East the last 3 years, and a Boston team had never won it back-to-back years, which that blows me away. But for us to be able to do it 3 times and to be where we are right now, that's absolutely the reason why I came here.
Do you believe him?
Came for the money.
Thank you. Thank you.
He came because they were paying
If the Yankees offered more, he'd be saying the same thing in New York. No, LA offered more, he'd be saying the same thing there. Same as St. Louis.
Yeah, I was going to say, he came here because he was getting a little bit more than the Cardinals were willing to pay him.
I don't buy this answer.
32 no. million
I think he's
pulling
crap on this one.
32 back million. Back to back? What?
Hurt.
He wants to come here because they never won back to back?
Yeah, the history part.
It's about those back to back AL East titles that he just loves. Now it's been three, and he's been a part of it. He's been a part of history. Exactly.
Who cares about the
like he's looking for something related to winning that he's got to give everybody because he doesn't want to just say the obvious.
I can't rip him for it. That's the right answer.
For the money.
It's the right answer. Good job, David Price.
It's the right answer.
Good job, David
Price.
But
I don't believe him.
Nope.
However.
I don't care. That's a good answer.
I thought he did give a very truthful, honest, and relevant answer about the way he's pitched. He didn't give it in the press conference. He gave it to Ken Rosenthal as after the game on the field in the on-field interview. We will hear that answer from David Price on why he's having success right now. I thought it was the best answer he gave all night. We will hear it next.
This is the home of the Bruins.
With the Bruins.
Joe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
I was pretty sharp. I was, you know, fastball command is, that's the key for me, Tiff. That's the, you win, dude. Gummit. Go to mama. Fastball command is always the key, and it started.
David Price with his kid up at the podium. Stop bringing your kid to the podium.
Is that Steph Curry?
Stop doing that. That goes for everybody. Every athlete everywhere.
He did it once last week. Just
did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We played it last week.
Yes.
That's right.
He said, don't do it. He did it again.
Stop. Stop doing that. Every athlete everywhere. Take note of that. Don't do that.
It's an interview room with a bunch of stiff,
such a bad look.
Boring people covering teams. Like, kid's not going to have any fun there.
Do it if your kid, like, I don't mind it if the kid is older for some reason.
No,
like, off to the side.
Bull crap.
Like, in the room? I don't care about that.
Right.
I, like,
put on the back of the room.
Like, I get it. You know, there have been, but man, the kid up there and it's a distraction and you're just trying to ask the guy the questions. You want to get your answers and get to whatever years you're reporting. That guy wants to get out of there. How about you do everybody a favor, including yourself? Check the kid at the door, do the thing, and let's all, you know, get back to our work, and you go home and whatever. God.
Take the kid to Chuck E. Cheese,
hate
man.
That. But anyway, that's David Ball Price pit. At the podium. Talked about David Price. Talked about his answer last night about to Chris Gasper about he wanted to come here just for the winning. Yeah, I want to believe you, David. I do, but I just don't.
Well, history. They never won two divisions back-to-back before.
So he did have an answer that I thought was pretty good, and it was this one to Ken Rosenthal in the on-field interview right after the game ended.
Back-to-back wins in the postseason. You had that difficult fourth. They took a 2-1 lead. How did you regroup?
Just continue to make pitches. I made a lot of pitches in that fourth inning. They had some really good at-bats, got on some good pitches, put some good swings on balls, and these guys picked me up just like they have all year long, so that was huge.
You said in game four of the ALCS, warming up in the bullpen, you found something. Since then, two brilliant performances. What has changed?
I have. You know, it's just I take a lot of pride in being able to evolve from pitch to pitch or day to day or game to game, whatever it is. You know, just being able to make adjustments on the fly, and it's paid off.
You've been through a lot in the postseason. You had the crowd on your side tonight. How gratifying is this moment for you?
It feels good. It definitely feels good. But like I said before this playoffs happened, I'd rather go winless and we win a World Series and me go, you know, 4-5-0 and we lose. So you know, we're playing good baseball right now. That's a very good team over there, so we need to go to L.A. and not make it come back to Boston.
It's David Price after the game last night, and he said, it's me. What's changed? Me. I continue to evolve. I continue to change what I do. And he's right, because last night it was not about the cutter, which I think is a disgusting pitch when he could throw it, and he could throw it for strikes. I mean, it's dirty against righties. It's just filthy. And I think some of his greatest starts in his career have come when that cutter is working.
Yep.
And it seems at times like it's unhittable and it fools guys. And I just think it's great. That's when he's really got it going on. And there are points early this season when he really had it going on with that pitch. Last night, according to the Pitch FX data for Major League Baseball, of course, you know, my site that I like to look these things up on. You call me a geek.
It's exciting.
Brooksbaseball.net.
Yep.
According to their data, he threw six cutters in the whole game. Six. That was it. It was all about fastball, sinker in, change ups away. It looks exactly the same coming out of the hand, and the hitters get fooled by it.
He's painting too much. Yeah, it's part of the painting, too, where it's in, it's out, he's dibbling here and there. But you knew when he threw it. You could.
No, I'm talking about when he threw him for strikes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when he attacked hitters.
Right.
It was simple. It was really simple, it's and it was really different for him, and he adjusted to the situation.
It's the threat of it that's getting those guys to be uneasy. And I would love to ask him when this is over.
We got a grilled cheese delivery.
This is beautiful.
This
one
goes here. Thank you very much. Nice. And one behind you there.
I'll take one of those.
You,
thank you.
Go Bruins.
Thank you. Love
thank
that.
You. Yeah.
I'll settle up with you in a minute. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. It's delightful.
I would love to be able to ask him when this is over. And it's looking pretty good. You know, up 2-0. Like, I know you said that all you really cared about was, you know, the win. But how much better is it now that you've won, if they do in fact win, that you were a huge component in the winning? Like, oh come on.
Listen.
Can you even imagine?
I mean, listen, if they win it all, right, if they continue on the way they're going and they win this thing and you get to the end and David Price pitched in the closeout game against the Astros and pitched extremely well,
yep,
and came up huge in a big spot in game two to take a 2-0 lead. Well, now you're in the territory of, we wipe out all the previous sins and all the previous crap, like with all your you know, things you've said.
We needed
all
that last night.
To me, it wasn't
one and done a week ago in
it changed
Houston.
Last night.
He
last
needed
night
last night.
Territory.
Last night was more. He was more money than he was in Houston to me.
Now all family business has been settled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to feel that way.
Yes.
All the family
he's
business
a made man
being
now.
Settled.
Now, okay, if things go south in Los Angeles and this becomes a series again and he gets
a big
pressure-filled start and blows it. Okay,
hey.
Now we got to reassess.
But he's
done so much. Like, I don't even know that it could be undone by one bad start later on in the series.
It could get better to the point where you close this thing out 4-5 and say something shaky happens to one of those, and all of a sudden he's available out of the damn bullpen, and he comes out and gives you two great innings. And you close it out, and then you hand
don't rule it out.
Say he goes six. No. Say he goes 6-7 or 7-8, and you give it to Kimbrel, and then boom, World Series is over. He's legend. He's like already borderline legend based on his last two starts. He is a made man.
Not legend.
You come out, do it differently to where you did it with two starts, and then back to it comes full circle because it's always been, well, I did win a playoff game coming out of the bullpen. Yeah. Then you win another one. It comes full circle for him.
I think if you're going to use him out of the bullpen, you're going to do it in game three, 2 days after he pitched last night.
Yeah, because you're going for the throat. Tight game.
Right.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Get the rake out.
Well, no.
No,
because,
you
can
do it in four.
You can use it in four.
I'm
sorry.
Four.
My mistake.
Not three.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow.
He's not
counting my
days.
No.
He's not available tomorrow.
And then you have the day off between games five and six if necessary.
Because the way things are going, there isn't going to be a game
six. Yeah, exactly. That lines up perfectly. If they win tomorrow and they are with a lead in game four, you could see David Price again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he could be masterful again. And he could help you win the World Series more than he already has. He is rewriting his script here in Boston.
Can you believe it?
So whether or not he's here for the money or not, you know, winning is what counts. And right now, that's what he's doing. Let's get back to your calls. Connor is in Linfield on David Price. Connor.
What's up, Zoe?
Hey, what's up, man?
So Frank Thomas touched on last night. He called David Price after this two starts a legitimate Hall of Famer. I lost a minute. Do you even think he was a Hall before this postseason? Or do you think, what's your take on that?
David Price in the Hall of Fame?
Do you think these last starts solidified it, or do you?
I heard somebody talking about this, comparing this to Kershaw the other day, to where, you know, Kershaw's got the Cy Youngs, but when you actually dig in and you look at the numbers, that David Price isn't that far off because you look at view Kershaw as like a Hall of Famer, right? It's probably when you start looking at the numbers overall and the body of work. I wouldn't say he was one prior to this, but. Yeah, this is more of a BBWA question. You know, this puts the capper on it for him, probably.
143-75 career ERA of 3.25. He's got one Cy Young. He's got two second place finishes. I don't know that. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer yet.
Not yet, then, huh? See,
I don't think he is. That'd be in the very good category, not Hall of Fame category.
Yeah,
I thought I heard somebody here locally trying to argue him in that the numbers were comparative. But I think this helps. This obviously helps. Two big starts, two big wins, and if he comes out of the bullpen in game four to help close it out, yeah, and you do it in Boston.
Discussion for another day is what I would call that.
Yeah, talk to me next week on that.
617-779-0985. I promise when we come back, we're just going to get to your calls because we've been putting you aside. We've talked a lot of baseball. You've heard us speak quite a bit. And, of course, we do have more things to say. But why don't we get to your calls coming up after these headlines with Hardy.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, how big has Nate been in the eighth inning the last two nights, and how does this kind of impact how you use him in L.A.?
I don't know. We'll see. Rick is starting game three. Never know. Like I've been saying all along, we're all in every day. And if we feel that there's a chance to close the door with them, we'll use them. You know, the way it's mapped out is Rick on game three and maybe Nate game four, but Nate might come in the eighth again. And if we have a chance to be up 3-0 with him on the mound and Craig, we'll do it. And then we'll figure out game four. Well, that's the beauty of the playoffs. It's actually fun because, you know, you map out everything over 162 games and you give guys rest and take care of guys. But now it's like pedal to the metal. And whatever happens that day, we'll take it. And, you know, he's been amazing for us.
That's Alex Cora on the starting pitching. Heading forward as the team travels to L.A. today. Henry is in the car on J.D. Martinez. Thanks for hanging on, Henry.
No problem, guys. Hey, just quick note. I actually got a chance to be at the press conference post-game, and when Price's kid came out, you could see some eye rolls in the room. But I agree with you guys on that point.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Henry.
But
better give us a little inside there.
Yeah. You know, got the inside scoop. My thought is with J.D. Martinez's ankle being, you know, questionable and him moving slow, playing him at first base in L.A., I think, you know, we saw Hanley be able to play first base and David Ortiz. J.D. Martinez is an athlete. He's a professional.
Yeah.
I think he'd be an easy transition for him and to keep that outfield the way it is. I'm not worried about.
We're really going to go to this point that we're going to tweak this and move guys around all over the damn infield. And the way those guys have stretched, guys like Pierce, guys like Morton, how they played first and how they bailed some of these bad throws out, whether it was Nunez or whether it was Devers, to think Martinez is going to do that and just do it in his sleep naturally. I mean, I'd be more comfortable playing Mookie Betts at second than I would playing J.D. Martinez at first. I don't know about you, Beetle.
Yeah,
I just think there's too many bang-bang plays at first for that.
I agree with you guys, but I think JBJ's glove in the outfield is more important than the, you know, overturn of or the upgrade of Pierce over JD at first base. So I think playing him at first base is an option. And if we were talking about Mookie Betts playing second base seriously, you know, earlier, I think J.D. Martinez at first base, you know, especially with the ankle situation, is not a far-fetched idea. And I think it's one, you know, Al's course.
Well, it's more far-fetched than the idea of playing Betts at second. Betts has played second in his life. JD has not played first. He's not a first baseman. So I have no idea. I have nothing to go by.
Does JD Martinez look like a fantastic athlete to you, or does he look a little bit clunky? He's a little more on the clunky side, right? He's not smooth, is what I'm saying. Betts is smooth at everything he does. I think there's a little more rigidity to what Martinez does, where he could actually hurt you at first base. more so than Betts could hurt you at second.
I think that's.
I understand trying to hide him there. And first.
Normally, I would say
Ortiz
no because
can never move either. Though that's see, there's your other side of the argument.
But you had different situation.
Poppy
where,
had a knack for catching and stretching and snagging balls off the ground, and Poppy was good at that. Man, he never killed you there.
I don't want to jam it out there.
Blasting the Goo Goo Dolls as they go to them.
Hell yeah, they are.
Public skate out.
Yeah, here. Rock our asses off for the rest of this show.
I'll wait for a little.
Johnny Resnick, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Get the goo. Get the goo going.
I thought some girls doing some skating routine out there.
I don't want to be like the whole, you know, defense doesn't matter, but let's be honest. Defensively, a lot of these conversations are overblown. Just defense in general, other than pitching.
I don't agree with that. Look at Benintendi's catch last night.
Benintendi's made a couple of big catches and left. Tell me about the other big defensive plays that have saved your bacon so far in this postseason. And there's a handful of them. It comes down to hitting, and it comes down to pitching.
McCarthy says J.D. Martinez has played first base twice in his life, rookie ball in Greenville and short single A at Tri-City.
And you want to put him there in a World Series in Dodger Stadium?
No, I do not. And furthermore, how about this then, Beetle?
Yeah.
The last caller didn't want to move Jackie Bradley Jr. out of center field because of his glove. His glove in center field? Now we're worried about not having Jackie Bradley Jr.'s glove out in center. No, that will not keep me awake.
Speaking of Matt McCarthy,
is that going to bother you?
No,
we got McCarthy in the closet.
No, we're going to go to him coming up next segment. He's got He's got a theory that is interesting about why it is Alex Gore has said what he said when we started the segment with about maybe Eovaldi in Game Four.
And you know, for a Red Sox honk like McCarthy, he's got some salt to him.
Of course. Dude, hardcore baseball.
They throw a little stink on it.
Hardcore baseball podcast. 98.5thesportshub.com and in the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Let's go to Dave in the truck on the Curt Schilling issue from last night. Dave?
Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to just say something in Curt Schilling's defense. All politics aside, he was a phenomenal presence in 2004. And what he did in the ALCS and against the Yankees, and then the World Series against the Cardinals, he pitched on an injured ankle that was surgically repaired, and that was fantastic. And it was repaired, but I bet it still hurt an awful lot. Anyway, that aside,
okay. Everything's aside. What is the point?
What are we doing?
Well, I think he should have been there last night. Anyway.
Okay, we all agree.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. We all agree.
Last night was not about politics. It's about a baseball game. It's about an 0-4 team that had, all of a sudden, you got to get goosebumps because some guy, Embry, came out of the dugout.
I mean, at the end of the day, is it a big deal that he wasn't there? No, but it would have been nice if he was.
Is it a big deal that we're sitting here rocking our asses out to Three Doors Down now, Kryptonite?
I love that.
Yes. That is a big
deal.
That's
hockey.
Big deal. That's a damn big deal.
I love hockey rocks.
How much is your ass rocked right now?
You know, with jock chance, we need hockey rocks.
Why is
Volume One.
Alex Cora refusing to commit to Nathan Eovaldi in Game 4? Is it because he wants to use him in Game 3?
Oh.
Or is something more difficult happening for this team?
Was it something deeper, Captain?
Something deeper. Something that relates to later in the series.
Something that's hardcore.
You will hear from Matt McCarthy on that next.
Hardcore.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Struck him out. Bellinger down to start the eighth. Bellinger struck out. Turner reaches for it. Checks on Bogarts. Good play. Two out. Kelly to Eovaldi to Kimbrel. Fly ball into left. Easy for Benintendi. And the Red Sox bullpen outstanding tonight.
McCarthy, host of the Hardcore Baseball podcast here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. He's got a theory on why Alex Cora won't commit to pitching Nathan Eovaldi in Game 4. Won't do it. My first thought was, oh boy, they're going to try and use him in Game 3 if they need to. If they got a one-run lead and they're in the eighth inning out there, they want to have Eovaldi available. Well, Matt McCarthy's got something else. Another theory why Eovaldi may not be pitching in game four. We send it back to the Town Fair Tire Studios. McCarthy, tell us what you think.
Guys, doesn't it seem a little bit far-fetched that Nathan Eovaldi is going to all of a sudden pitch on 2 days rest after pitching? And Tom, I've got a bit of a delay here. I don't know if this is really working out well. Tell you what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to kill my headphones so I can't hear these guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Doesn't it seem a little bit far-fetched that Nathan Eovaldi is going to pitch on 2 days rest after pitching back-to-back nights? So I think there's a concern, a real concern here, that Chris Sale is not going to be able to go for game five. So you can use Nathan Eovaldi in games one and game two, Eduardo Rodriguez in game four, and then Nathan Eovaldi in game five. I think there's a real chance that the Red Sox are lining up Eovaldi for that game five start because they're concerned about Chris Sale's ability to pitch again in this series.
Well, from the arm standpoint or from the stomach?
Yeah, I bet he can't hear
us. I'm asking you that. From an arm standpoint or the stomach? Is he still sick?
Yeah. McCarthy, do you think, what is it? I mean, what makes you think that Sale can't pitch again?
I think it's the arm. The arm's the real problem with this guy. I mean, you know, look at the velocity here, guys. The first inning of game one, he was throwing 94 miles an hour on average. By the fourth inning, it was down to 91. So you've got a real concern with the arm being able to hold up. I think maybe the shoulder, you know, or the stomach issue that put him in MGH, maybe that had something to do with the shoulder. I just don't think they think his arm can hold up. Listen, in the ALCS, they had to, you know, essentially, you know, stop him from starting in game five. That was unplanned. I think they're just planning that Eovaldi might have to go in game five instead of Sale. I don't think that's too far-fetched, given what we've seen with Chris Sale's shoulder throughout this playoff run.
Interesting. Interesting thought. I had not considered that. I had not even thought that Sale would not be able to pitch.
Or setting themselves
the other night.
Setting themselves up, protecting themselves just in case that can't happen, too. That's sort of being proactive or.
Yeah, maybe they just don't know.
Right.
Right. Like right now, they don't know.
That's just maybe trying to get their ducks in all in one line. That's pretty good by Hot Take McCarthy.
Hot Take McCarthy there.
Hard school baseball facts.
Hot takes.
Hard, what do they call
it? What is that ringing noise?
That's the music. Before, we were listening to Incubus Drive, and now it's a cover of Stand By Me. I don't know by who this is by.
Okay.
It's the...
This ding. Is the old B.B.
No,
King
I
one.
Won't ding, be afraid.
I won't.
Ice skating. It's a public skate going on now here at the Warrior.
Well, we have a presentation going on at Center Ice, which she's doing. This is like Ice Castles. Is that the
it's not a
movie.
Cover.
It's the original.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a cover. It's the original.
When the night.
Yeah. Wow, that was quick, T-Bone. I'm not going to lie.
And the land is dark. And the moon.
I think you're both
not the original. Not
it's the original.
It's not even close to being original.
Let's go to your calls.
All right, I'll go find the DJ.
Carter is in Worcester. Carter.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, Carter. How are you?
Hi.
Good. So... I was just wondering, I know it's too soon to predict a World Series championship. There's still two games to go. But would winning it take anything away from Theo Epstein and put more on the Henry ownership group now that they've won two without Theo and he's only won one?
Theo Theo's, wait, hold on. Year. Carter, they still got Theo's draft picks out there playing. Mookie Betts, he's a Theo guy.
How's Betts look?
He looks pretty great.
I don't think it takes anything away from Theo.
I think it takes nothing away from Theo. I think, if anything, it adds to his resume, some of the players that are on this team that he drafted. But I do think there's something for ownership to be gained. Of course. Of course there is. There's something to be gained by all this. They hired the right manager. They got the right guy for the job. Dave Dombrowski's moves are paying off, which is crazy. Like Nathan Eovaldi being as good as he has been in both a reliever and starter role. Just like Dave Dombrowski told us he would.
Right.
So.
Called it.
He called it. He did. Based on what, I have no idea. But he did. He called that, and he called that his bullpen was going to show up when it mattered. And they have Joe Kelly. Remember we were laughing. Yeah, give me a break, Dave. Joe Kelly's gone in the toilet by the time the trade deadline came around. Right? Oh, yeah. That early season stuff from Joe Kelly, that was a fluke, Dave. He's never been that good. Look at this. He's now better than he's ever been. Last night, his appearance was the best I've ever seen him pitch in a relief role. Ever.
He was so good. He was laughing about it, walking off the mound.
So good.
Stifling laughter at how crazy good he was.
Dan is in Reading on J.D. Martinez. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I love the backdrop. Go Bruins.
Yeah.
I think J.D.'s
Drop the puck.
They have to play him, but I think he's going to play first base because I think when he twisted his kind of sprained his ankle running around second base, I think they're not going to put him in the outfield because it's too. I don't think he's kind of gimpy running down the line last night on that out to first base. So
there's so many variables going on. Wherever he ends up, I will not be surprised. Yeah. You know, because
I'd be shocked if he's a first.
I'd be shocked too, but that would be indicative of a guy who just can't move. And even though that, you know, whoever's been playing first in this postseason has had to make some pretty remarkable catches in order to get some what should have been routine outs, if he's there, I think that will speak to a mobility issue. If he ends up in right field, okay, well, I guess he can move around just fine, and they're not afraid of those left-handed hitters going against Porcello, and that'll be okay. If he ends up in left, that makes the most sense to me, so that wouldn't surprise me. At this point, we've examined so many of the possibilities, I don't think anything is going to shock me. But the first base thing, what would be the one I'm least expecting?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it. I didn't think they were going to consider Mookie Betts at second, but they are. They're going to consider that. I think the injury, though, we may not know until tomorrow night. You know, they might wait until the very last minute to make a decision on that. Ryan is in North Andover on Price. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to say I think that Price could go on 3 days rest in game five, and then you could take Evaldi out of the bullpen because, I mean, Price proved that he went 3 days rest in the ALCS. Just want to hear you guys' thoughts on that. Thanks.
Okay, would you rather have Price in Game 5 and have Evaldi available to pitch? Oh, wait, no.
Yeah. If you could end it, you end it.
He'd be available. That's but all. But now this also factors in what sales availability. So if you get through Game 5 with Price, again, I don't know where they'll be in the series, whether they'll have a lead or not. You know, I assume they will. I'm looking at this series thing, and the Dodgers are dead. But
wait, 3-4-5 are out there, right? 3-4-5. Correct.
Yeah. I think you got to, if there's no, so that means no Evaldi to start. You're losing two starters in that situation.
Game seven, guy.
Instead of one.
Say it goes seven. Who's seven?
You've lost both Sale and Evaldi. So once Price pitches, Evaldi? Who the hell's going in game six? Porcello. And then if you run into a game seven, what is it? Bullpen start?
Eight. Seriously.
A bullpen.
Seriously. Joe Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly.
This might be the whole core point of it. Like, we got to end as quick as possible because we might not be right at the back.
Well, I think that if Sale is not available to pitch, I think their whole thought process might
deck.
Change.
I'll be shocked. And McCarthy makes good points. I'm glad he brought it up, and it's something to think about. The velocity went down from you know, the Houston to I get it. It all makes sense. I hear what you're saying. I'd be shocked if he's not out there on the mound for his next start if they need him. If he's needed again in this series.
But on a short leash because they know he's going to fall apart after three innings.
Fine. The bullpen can do no wrong.
Hey, what's the deal with Torrey Krug? Is Krug coming by here or what?
At some point, maybe. We'll see.
Last they asked me is, are you free at 1 o'clock? They said, yep, we're clear at 1 o'clock.
Let's just turn 1 o'clock.
Let's do the headlines real quick.
Buddy,
let's do the headlines real quick, and then we'll
be ready for him.
When he comes.
1 o'clock.
Sit him down.
All right. I want to talk about pace of game last night and some comments that were said by multiple parties, including the commissioner of baseball, including David Price. Thoughts on that? Or maybe Torrey Krug?
You got nothing in common.
Just do the headlines.